Cambridge 105 Radio.
It's a strange old mix, as it always is, and I think Oscar has done its usual trick of picking a few favourites and then showering them with nominations. So the most nominations this year has gone to Joker with 11, which, as I posted on Twitter a little while ago, I think is an absolute joke because it's a deeply mediocre film. Best, I did not rate it at all. But a lot of people did, and clearly it's one of those that's easy to get traction in Hollywood. It's easy to generate momentum around, and you've got a great lead performance, admittedly, from Joaquin Phoenix as well. So certain films get momentum in these awards kind of seasons, and Joker has been one of those. But the nominations have been not as shared round this year as they have been in some years.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I mean... the rumours were, well, for Globes and the Golden Globes and other ones, they're saying that there haven't been so many females and or people of colour in there.
Yes.
Is that the same for the Oscars? Is that the same?
I mean, it is somewhat depressing. The big category is Best Director. And once again, we have five male nominees. And it wouldn't be so frustrating, because admittedly, in Hollywood, it is more difficult at the moment for women to get opportunities. And so, in that sense, you'd expect it to be weighted slightly towards men, and hopefully the chance for more women to actually get films and for the balance to gradually correct itself. But in a year when so many brilliant films have been directed by women, and some of those films have had some nominations, Little Women, for example, is up for Best Picture. It's also got two acting nominations with Florence Pugh, who's nominated, as well as Saoirse Ronan in the Supporting Actress and Actress categories.
Oh, interesting. I didn't realise both of them. That's great.
So that is brilliant. So waving the flag for Florence Pugh is obviously being a British actress as
yes.
well, and Saoirse Ronan being from just over the water. But no nomination for Greta Gerwig. She's nominated for Best Adapted Screenplay, which is great, but she's not nominated for Best Director. And it is a brilliant film, and her direction is brilliant. So the question as to
this why... This is Little Women.
Little Women.
Yes, sorry.
The question as to why for Little Women she's not managed to get a directing nomination when you look at some of the other nominations. I mean, I have to hold my hand up and say that I did not think Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was as good as some of Quentin Tarantino's other work. He's got a nomination. Todd Phillips has been nominated for Joker. And, you know, I do feel aggrieved and saddened that someone like Greta Gerwig has not managed to pick up a nomination when others have. But that she was by far the only, from being the only talented woman who could have had a nomination. You've got the likes of Lulu Wang, who directed a wonderful film called The Farewell, which is a combination of sort of English and Chinese language. A family whose grandmother is diagnosed with a terminal illness, and so they have to come up with an excuse to go back and see her. So they sort of have a wedding under false pretenses. Booksmart, Olivia Wilde, who's got
that's one you've rated for a long time, isn't it?
It is, and she's got quite a mixed career as an actress, but actually her debut as a director is brilliant. But so often the Oscars and BAFTAs and other awards like this don't tend to want to favour comedies. They don't give them the same importance as dramas.
You'd put that something on Twitter. Now, Joker I shied away from. For me, it seems far too dark and it's almost too scary for me, so I haven't seen it, so I can't comment on that. I know a lot of people did like it, but equally, I saw Knives Out recently and absolutely loved that. And you were saying it's not been...
Yeah, it's picked up a nomination for Best Original Screenplay for Ryan Johnson, but that's about it. And you know, we've got the list of the Best Picture nominees up in front of us at the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I my heart sinks slightly when I look at some of this list. I did thoroughly enjoy Ford versus Ferrari, or Le Mans 66 as it was called in this country, which is Christian Bale and Matt Damon in the story of the battle of the 24-hour race in the 60s, with Ford trying to challenge Ferrari's dominance. It's a very watchable film, but I can't honestly say it's one of the best films of the year. You know, Jojo Rabbit has had a bit of a critical mauling. Joker has divided.
Jojo Rabbit's only just come out here. That's the trouble with some of these. Some of these are only just coming out.
Yes.
Here, but, you know, have been around, aren't they, in America?
And some of them are also actually quite hard to track down as well. For example, The Irishman, which showed here as the surprise film at the Cambridge, the second surprise film at the Cambridge Film Festival last year, but is a Netflix release, so no cinemas in Cambridge, or even in Cambridgeshire, will actually show it as part of their regular programming.
Because interesting.
There's a general policy in the multiplex chains. You won't show something if it comes out on a sort of internet release within about 4 months of its online release. And so consequently, any Netflix film, the Curzon and the Everyman cinema chains will show those films, and lots of independents will. but that no actual cinema in Cambridge or in Cambridgeshire will actually show The Irishman or any other Netflix release. And so you miss out on that chance.
Yeah, I hadn't really realised that. I realised it was on Netflix. That's going to have to change, isn't it? Because more and more things are coming out direct on Netflix.
I think something will change. The question is what it is. Mm. And Netflix have actually just invested in their first cinema in America. And I personally would love to see something like that happening. And there are other great films as well. The biggest frustration for me in all of the awards nominations this year, and I think it sums up in many ways what's so wrong with the Oscars, there's a film called Portrait of a Lady on Fire, a fantastic film directed by a French lady called Céline Sciamma. And you'll not see it anywhere in the Oscar nominations, yet it has got probably some of the best reviews from critics of any film that's been released. It's out in the UK in February. But it's released by Curzon under their Artificial Eye brand, which means that it will only show in Curzon cinemas because none of the local cinemas will show it, so you won't be able to see it in a cinema locally. I still keep my fingers crossed that maybe someone like The Light, who are not bound by the same kinds of rules necessarily, might be willing to put on the odd screening. And if you'd like someone to come down, if you're listening, to do an intro or host anything like that, I'm always available.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's definitely a good plug for there.
But other cinemas are available, The View and the Picture House, of course, in Cambridge, and I regularly attend all of them.
That's a bit daft for themselves, isn't it? You know.
Well, the problem is that the cinema is a business, and these companies want to try and make sure that you come not only to see films, but you come to see their films. And the way the cinema model works is that cinemas don't make much money from the actual films themselves. They're making the money from all the extra bits like the popcorn and the things that they try and sell you at the cinema. Most of the money from the films goes back to the production companies and the distribution companies, and so the people who actually make the film, which in a way is fair enough. But it doesn't give the cinemas the incentive to try and hunt down those films. So
they want the big blockbusters that, you know, just going to fill...
They do. But you also then got the problem with the awards themselves, because Portrait of a Lady on Fire is a French film. And the way that the international film categories it's been named this year works is each country nominates what they think is their best film, and they'll go into a big pot. France nominated a film called Les Misérables, not the musical, another
I've
version.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, you sort of think, oh yeah, that sounds really good, I'll go and see that. No, it's not the musical, for you rush out and see it. So consequently, when your own country doesn't pick you as thinking you're the best film, what other chance have you then got to get into some of the other categories? And of course, it's a foreign language film. There is a foreign language film nominated this year, Parasite, which is out on the 7th of February, so it's another one that's coming up. Probably the best reviews of any of the films in the nominations this year. But when you think that Parasite is only the 12th film in history to get a nomination for Best Picture that's in a foreign language in 92 years of the Oscars, they are so blind to certain things at certain points.
So it's English speaking or the rest.
I mean,
not the Oscars, but bear in mind that we can all read subtitles. It seems a shame that they don't now just include them all into the whole thing. Am I just being very naive?
They are perfectly able to be nominated. You know, the film I've mentioned there, Portrait of a Lady on Fire, which I would compel people to hunt down if they can. Parasite, which is fantastically reviewed. The director of Parasite, Bong Joon-ho, actually said at an award ceremony earlier this year that when Hollywood and when people manage to get past the barrier of the one-inch letters that come up at the bottom of the screen, they'll open themselves to a whole world of new cinema experiences. And he's absolutely right. But you mentioned earlier on the things like the Oscars so white and the lack of women, and unfortunately, the Oscars have not delivered on either category. You've got somebody who has, through no fault of their own, become a bit of a poster child for the lack of representation, Scarlett Johansson, because she was in the film Ghost in the Shell, which was rather accused of whitewashing because it was a Japanese anime film, which then she came in and played a non-Japanese character. And she has nominations in both acting categories this year. Deservedly nominated, I will say, for Marriage Story as Best Actress, and also nominated for Best Supporting Actress for Bombshell.
Jojo Rabbit.
Jojo Rabbit, yeah, Jojo Rabbit, of course. Because it's Margot Robbie's nominated for Bombshell.
Oh, yes, that's right, yeah.
So, you know, while I'm all in favour of applauding great performances, you know, we've got 10 slots for actresses and two of them have gone to Scarlett Johansson. There's got to be a better way than that, surely.
Oh, dear. Well, let's take a little break there and then maybe we'll talk about a little bit more. We're just going to have a look at the travel and then we'll come back. So I'm here with Mark Liversidge and we are talking Oscar nominations, which came out at lunchtime today, so very hot off the press. And Mark is to put it mildly, is a bit of a film buff.
Yes, can I offer my credentials as a member of the Bums on Seats team on the station
absolutely.
Past 8 years now? That's a scary thought. Mm. And also as a film critic for the Cambridge Independent. Yes. Other publications are available, but they don't have me writing about film in them.
No, so. And I purposely went out at Christmas and got your New Year got your lovely. Little guide to all the films, because I like your ranking of 50 films. Wasn't it?
It was. I did for the past 3 years. I've done my top 50 of the year, and also my 2020 preview. And a big thanks to the Independent, who've actually put that top 50 online with all the trailers, so you can actually head to their website and see my choices. And feel free to come and debate them with me. I'm always happy to have my opinions challenged.
I am, because I think we did have a debate, because I went to see something. I can't remember what it was now. And you weren't so keen, but I really liked it. I can't remember what it was.
I think this is, for me, the joy of film, and it's the joy of film criticism, that actually it's just opinions. Everyone has their own. And it's having that conversation afterwards is one of the great things about it, for us to be able to go and enjoy the film. And I suppose that's why we enjoy talking
Star Wars, that was it.
Yeah, no,
and I can understand why people weren't so keen on Star Wars, but for me, as a thing of itself, I really enjoyed it. And for me, it's the history of our family that going to it was more the enjoyment of the day.
And so I thoroughly enjoyed the experience of seeing it with my sister and my niece and my nephew and my now fiance. But ultimately, the stories are complete nonsense. It doesn't wrap it up in any satisfying way.
No, and then my sons both came out saying more similar to you, where I thought, oh, it was just really good fun. So it depends what you're trying to get out of a film, isn't it, I guess, as well.
It does, but this is the joy of it. And this, I think, is also the joy of why we actually like sitting down and talking about the Oscars and the BAFTAs and actually working out. And actually, I've been caught a little on the hop this year, because it's earlier than I can remember, certainly. It's normally about the end of February, beginning of March. This year, the ceremony is on February the 9th.
Is that for any reason, or they just decided...
I think really to try and make sure that it's the general season is not overstretched. Often things will move for things like the Winter Olympics or things like that, but there's no particular TV event other than the Oscars that's caused it to move. It's just an artistic choice to try and have it in a period and try and condense all the speculation and not let it drag out and peter out too much. I think
so. They put it closer to the Golden Globes as well.
Yeah, so effectively because the Oscars is always the last thing, the whole award season has become condensed. A few years ago, the BAFTAs moved from their position in March into trying to be before the Oscars. So, of course, it means they've had to come forward this year as well. That's now February the 2nd. There's not much time into it, which in a way is good, because we're not going to be bored of it by the time it finishes, or at least not as bored. But at the same time, you know, it's also making sure that those films which maybe people have heard of less and which actually will get the boost of being nominated, not necessarily even winning, but, you know, might actually attract people to go and watch them or to go and see them because they've seen them nominated, you still want that momentum to be created. So, and it's, I think, looking down there's the best picture list this year.
Okay, we're going to go through the different categories, shall we?
So quickly run down Best Picture. You've got Le Mans 66, The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, Marriage Story, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Parasite. I think now all of those, apart from Parasite, have actually been in cinemas this year, which is quite unusual.
Yeah, 1917's only just come out, hasn't it?
Yes, 1917 opened on Friday. We actually reviewed it on Bums on Seats on Saturday. I wasn't on this week. And actually the team, Emma, who was hosting on Saturday, really did quite love it. But the rest of the team were a little bit ambivalent. They felt that the technical aspects of having a film in a single shot, it's designed to be looking like it's one continuous camera move over 2 hours. They felt it overwhelmed the story a little bit. So I'm interested to try and see that as soon as I can myself as well and see what the view is. But I don't think they were raving about it. So don't forget, you can listen back to that as a podcast.
I was going to say, that's a good thing to go and listen to, especially, I mean, I know... it's really good to hear, like, the Bums and Seats, because people have got the different views. So you kind of get the idea, you have this thing where if you like this film, you'll like this. And so sometimes you end up falling into that category of not going to see other films because they're not what you would necessarily pick for yourself. But sometimes it's quite good to challenge that. Or if you hear someone else saying it's about, you think, oh, maybe I'll give that a go.
Absolutely. I think, you know, it's interesting to see, you know, comparing our Bums on Seats list of the films of the year between that and the Best Picture. You've got Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Marriage Story, and I think The Irishman. The only films that were either in our top 12 or sort of came close to it. So I think those are the ones that I would be hoping tend to come out in the top of a list. Our film of the year, mm-hmm. and, for all of the dozen or so Bums on Seats regulars, we all voted for our top 10s, added them all up, and the film which came out top for us, spoiler if you've not heard the podcast yet, was Knives Out. That was our favourite of the year.
Interesting.
My favourite of the year, my number one of the year, was Marriage Story. So I'm pleased at least to see that get
I want to see that one. That's one on my list to see. Hopefully it's still out. Because the thing is, I guess they get a bit of a resurgence even if they've come and gone, don't they?
This is another one. The Marriage Story, like The Irishman, we talked about before, The Travel, was a Netflix release. So if you are a Netflix subscriber...
Oh, I'm okay. So I watch it on Netflix. I can't get it in the cinema.
Can't see it in the cinema. Not in Cambridge or Cambridgeshire anyway.
Yeah, I think my son in London has seen The Irishman at a cinema, but I didn't really think about it when he said he went to see it at the cinema. I didn't cross my mind that it was. He must have been a specialist.
I'm actually one of those people, because I'm a film critic, that I've actually made trips into London to see some of these films that wouldn't otherwise be shown. Bong Joon-ho, that's directed Parasite, that's one of the nominations this mm-hmm. year, directed a film called Okja previously, which was a Netflix release. I went to London to see that.
So for Parasite, you were saying that that's a foreign film?
It is a foreign film. It's actually, astonishingly, given the strength of their cinema history, the first time that a South Korean film has received a nomination in any category.
Wow.
And actually, Parasite has got 6 nominations. It's got nominations for editing and for a few other things as well as being nominated for the best international film, which is the new name for the best foreign language film.
Okay.
But it's the best reviewed film of the year. You know,
so that's definitely one to go and see. You think you'll be able to see that at the cinema?
That will be at the cinemas. It's I think it's a preview at the Arts Picture House on the 3rd of February, and then it opens on the 7th. So you will definitely be able to see that one in Cambridge, which is good news. Given that it's actually had nominations in 6 categories, I wouldn't be surprised to see it popping up in our other local cinemas as well. Mm-hmm. And that's rare for foreign language films to do that, but with something like this, which has had so much acclaim, hopefully that will push it over that line and will actually give it the opportunity to be widely seen.
Because The Light often does some foreign language films, doesn't it?
Yes, and so hopefully they'd be willing to have a look as well. And you know, hopefully if there's enough interest prior to it, then maybe the viewer would pick it up as well.
So, do you want to move on to the actors?
We'll just sort of pick out the best bits of the sort of actors. I think we'll highlight the fact that there are 4 of the 20 nominees for best acting of male or female varieties are British this year. So you've got Jonathan Pryce nominated as best actor for The Two Popes. You've got Cynthia Erivo, should I say, who's nominated for Best Actress for The Western Harriet.
I've not even heard of that.
And she's the again, it just snuck under the radar last year, the only woman of colour in this year's nominations as well. Slightly disheartening. And then you've got Florence Pugh nominated as Best Supporting Actress for Little Women, and you've got Anthony Hopkins nominated for Best Supporting Actor for The Two Popes. So 4 out of 20 this year nominees are British.
Is that good? Is that, how does it compare to other years?
I mean, we have had more. I think the interesting thing is to see how many of those will actually then end up winning. I would suggest of those 4, the only one I would think might be in with a chance of actually picking up the prize might be Anthony Hopkins for Best Supporting Actor. Mm-hmm. So it's a tricky one. Obviously, Olivia Colman won last year.
He's up against Al Pacino, I've just noticed as well.
It's very much a category of lots of famous names. The big surprise for me in actor and supporting role is you've got Anthony Hopkins, Al Pacino, Joe Pesci, the last two both for The Irishman, Brad Pitt, and Tom Hanks. It's like a list of Hollywood royalty. but Tom Hanks is his first nomination in almost 20 years.
Really?
Castaway was the last film he was nominated for, which is astonishing when you think of the career he's had and the films he's done in between. But he's nominated for A Beautiful Day in the Neighbourhood, which is the story of Mr. Rogers, the American children's TV presenter.
Is it based on a true story then?
So it's actually the story of somebody going to really try and do a journalism piece on him. So that's why he's nominated as supporting actor, because although he's playing almost the title character of the film, and there was a documentary very highly rated as well made about Mr. Rogers last year, we didn't know him as well in this country, so it's an interesting way into understanding that. But it's as iconic in American TV culture as something like Play School or that would be in Britain.
I saw the trailer when I was at the cinema, and it didn't really kind of mean anything to me. I couldn't work out what it was leading to or anything, so it didn't particularly make me want to go and see it. But
yeah, sometimes that sort of presumed knowledge, but he was an iconic figure in American culture, even beyond that. So you know, it's fascinating to see. So I think we'll have to see where it goes. So I think to summarise, the big rewarded films, Joker got 11 nominations, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, The Irishman and 1917 all got 10. I suspect they'll be dividing up the prizes between them come Oscar night.
Well, thank you very much for that. And so if you had one which you would like to, I think you've pretty much said, well, from the ones that are actually being nominated, say, are you hoping for Parasite to...
I haven't seen that yet, but if it's as good as the reviews suggest, then yes. For the ones I have seen, Marriage Story is my big pick. I hope Little Women also does very well in the categories it's nominated.
Excellent. Thank you very much for coming in and giving us your knowledge. And yeah, any time you want to come and do that again, it would be lovely. And I will fingers crossed for all those on the 9th of February, did you say?
Yes, 9th of February. And I would just say to anyone that's going to be...
Thanks, Mark.
Advertising on Cambridge 105 Radio is easy.